This is madness.
With 900 years old, you reach for the good you are not.
Nerf herder.
I am a Jedi.
It's a little short for a stormtrooper.
We have what they grow beyond.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike. And guys, there has been a release of a trailer. We saw the title of it, The Rise of Skywalker, Episode 9, Celebration. It all happened on Friday. When you're listening to this podcast, you're catching up. We've got a chance. We've seen new footage. So much to talk about. But before we get into all of that, how's everybody doing?
There's been an awakening.
There's been
Have
an
you felt it? It's my anxiety going up to 110%.
This has been.
It's officially here. It has happened. It is just as I predicted.
It's been awakened.
Hello, anxiety. You're just how I imagined in my dreams.
Only how many months? 8 more months, Ryan. That's it.
Only 8 more months of living in constant fear.
You can make
it takes me 10 minutes to cross the street.
Yeah, you're just like, wait a second. Is that Chewbacca? Is that his medal?
It had to be Chewie's
right?
medal.
Right?
I want it to be Chewie's medal, please.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're like, we owed you this. The boys back at the squad thought you deserved this. And they pulled out of a drawer.
They do feel like they owe us. Maybe not the actual characters, but JJ does after he had Chewie set out to dry. When Leia just walks by him and says, oh, whatever, I don't care that our best friend and my husband is dead. Let's go talk to the person I've never seen before in my
life. They're
going to
say, Chewie, here's this medal. By the way, that moon looks awful close, doesn't it? We should mention that we're in person.
Yeah.
It's not usually the case.
Yeah.
So, we make the effort for a big moment like this.
It's a Star Wars moment.
I mean, this is it. This is the final trailer for the Skywalker saga. Teaser trailer.
I mean, there will be at least two more.
I know that, but I'm just saying it's like the final reveal we'll get. You know what
I mean? I was thinking before it came on that there is this magical moment with these trailers where it's the last moment before you haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you can only have that experience once of like seeing it for the first time because all of a sudden it's crystallized in your mind.
Ryan just very eloquently put that. Is what I was trying to say. I was like, it's this movie. You see
well,
it.
Yours was filled with bumbling inaccuracies.
Yours is also factually inaccurate, saying that it was the last trailer we were seeing. No, I mean, I think like you can hear in our voices, we're all like pretty giddy, and for me, this was, I think it kicked off the excitement again. Like, I think I need Ryan that crystallization. I think I need. The reality, like, and there is that excitement of like, oh man, we're about to see it. It's about to be real. And then seeing it and knowing it's real is what ramps up my excitement. Because I think I knew, obviously I was excited, like episode 9 is coming, but I don't think I had anything specific to be excited for. And today I went from like a 4 to a 100.
Right.
You know, in a great way. So I'm up.
Right before we get into talking about the trailer, I don't think we need to discuss all of the panel. Not a lot was said. It was pretty clear that, you know, there wasn't going to be...
Yeah.
I think Stephen Colbert even joked about, you brought me here to Chicago just ask questions, not get answers.
Right.
And that was the case. There wasn't a whole lot said by anyone that had a whole lot of weight other than the fact that there has been time that has passed from episode 8 to episode 9. Because even if it picked up right away, you could say... time had passed, so we don't know how much time.
Right,
and the reveal of the character Janna.
I think it's Janna.
Janna. Naomi Aki's character, who that picture was so badass.
Well, I think the main thing to come out of the panel was that Anthony Daniels wrote a book. Right?
Because
that seemed to get the most time and the most specific Q&A of the entire panel, and was very appropriate use of everyone's.
I was glad that we didn't find out what Kylo Ren's arc is even remotely, but we did find out the alternate title to Anthony Daniels' book.
And when that comes out tomorrow, we're all going to be like, ah, should have been telling me the
right?
odds.
Yeah, they were trying to treat it like the reveal of the title of Anthony Daniels' book is a real hush-hush thing. We're on bated breath.
Is that's what he was tweeting about? a while back.
A while back when we were so confused.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah.
Oh, I bet you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, it explains
oh, that
it
makes
all.
That tweet. That makes that tweet like even sadder.
I think you're 100% right.
Before we start diving into the trailer, though, I have to say I was pleasantly surprised with Mr. Stephen Colbert. Was not expecting him to be there. And his opening kind of monologue that he did, I thought he had a very like apt thought about Star Wars and where you stand. And like, we all were the kid who watched Luke and Tatooine and wanted to be him. And on my best day, I'm him again. And I felt like, oh, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like at times I've lost that childhood wonder, but at moments I get back to it. And that was a really wonderful sentiment that gave me chills in a panel that really otherwise had not much noteworthy to say.
Yeah. You know, like on the way home, I was thinking about that and I was walking and I thought, is Star Wars the closest thing we have to seeing what another world looks like? Is like,
well, James Cameron would disagree.
Okay, James, that's true.
Well, also, we just saw the first picture of a black hole.
That's true. That's what made me like kind of thinking of all of this. Like, is like, was Star Wars up until we saw this black hole? Like, is this what we know as like another world?
The pictures from Mars and the Mars rover not doing it for you.
Well, I'm just saying that's still rooted in our Earth. Like, it's still us. Like, this is such a foreign, fleshed out world that like. Is that why it's so magical to us? Is that it's like a glimpse into somewhere that we can't be, but yet.
Well, they talked about it in a little bit in the panel about the location scouting and how they're trying to find all these real places that make it feel tangible. And I think that's one of the things that I've lost in a lot of other movies is when I watched Star Wars growing up, it felt like, oh, there is another place out there. There is potentially another planet. Mm-hmm. Or even though I didn't know enough of the world, you know, I could see Tunisia as something that represented a whole other place.
Yeah, it's this interesting bit of doublethink because it's like, for instance, with the, like, I know that they shot in Jordan for this movie or Tunisia for Tatooine, or I don't actually know where they shot for Hoth. I know a lot of it was sets, but some of it was outside.
I think it was Norway, actually.
So, like, it's like Chicago. I know those things, but also I completely accept that they are on a different planet. I'm not thinking like, man, Norway looks nice.
Yeah, that's like, I never once think of where they're at when I'm watching a Star Wars movie, ever. Like,
the way that I think about whenever I see Iceland in movies now, because that's like a huge thing, is that I'm like, oh, Iceland looks that. very nice,
Well, we're in this weird time, too, where it was like, obviously, so what Lucas was doing was finding these places on Earth that could double as otherworldly locations, right? And then obviously when he got to making the prequels and sort of that period from, I don't know, the mid to late 90s through to, you know, just I don't know, 5 or 6, maybe 10 years ago, we were getting like completely digitized, like digital creations as new worlds. And now they're doing a really cool thing where it's like, we've gotten so good at like marrying the two. And there's like this new era of, I guess it's like digital compositing where it's like you take an otherworldly place that's really fantastic to photograph, that's real, and then you can like subtly adjust it and add to it and embellish it digitally to make it just like absolutely incredible and believably not Earth in a really cool way.
Yeah.
It's kind of when I saw the trailer for the first time and maybe jumping a little bit ahead is I almost felt like I wanted a little bit more of what you're talking about, Sam, because we saw Rey in a place that essentially, other than the lightsaber lighting up and the TIE fighter coming at her, it was just a place. I mean, it looked like just a place on Earth. Mm-hmm. And I wanted maybe a few more of those other elements that you're talking about to exaggerate it more. But
they should go the John Carter method where they shoot in Utah and make sure that Mars looks exactly like Utah.
That's John Carter from Utah is what you're thinking of.
John Carter of Utah, yeah. They didn't even make the planet red. What was that?
So we should get into the actual trailer, but one thing, other bit of news, and we'll probably talk more about this next week, Disney Plus is launching November 12th, and one of the launch shows that will be available on November 12th is The Mandalorian. So we have a date, likely by the end of Celebration. We will have footage, a trailer, Jon Favreau will have a lot to say, so we'll have more to talk about in our next episode, but some news for you. November 12th, you can watch The Mandalorian on Disney Plus.
Mandalorian.
Let's get into the trailer. Chris, we're ready. I think we should go back and maybe just take a moment here to watch the trailer one more time. For those of you listening, this will be a little bit played in the background. So you've seen the trailer. You don't need pristine audio. Just enjoy as we react to this trailer of Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
I have a lot to say about this shot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Because it reminds you of Solo.
At first, I thought they'd given her a buzz cut, like with like sort of like a I don't know if it was. Like,
this shot's really interesting to me because I've watched this trailer conservatively around, I'm going to say, 100,000 times. And every time, I'm like, how fast is the TIE Fighter going to pass through?
It's moving so quick.
The camera is moving quick.
Yeah.
The camera movement in that shot was one of the
first
things.
Everything is moving so fast.
This is also like quintessentially JJ, but also slightly more refined, I think, than The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think
here we go, Leia's theme.
Yeah.
Which was a surprise to me.
Coming in with Leia. Really, really heavy. Honoring Carrie.
I love that. I love the color.
I want to talk about that shot of Kylo.
You got to talk about the helmet as well.
There's Dio.
Yep.
Why is Lando still wearing the same clothes?
We'll get into it.
Oh, yeah.
That feels quintessentially JJ to me
this
as well.
Right. That shot is awesome. That's like right out of some kind of adventure.
The metal. Chewie's metal. Pretty seamless little shot there of Leia and Rey.
Mm-hmm.
It looked great.
I'm like obsessed with this shot.
The Death Star once again.
And that laugh.
Iconic. You knew it the moment it came up. And then Ian McDiermott came out.
Didn't know it the moment it came up.
I didn't know either.
Didn't know it. Was very... I guess we'll start at the end with that laugh. I texted you guys, not ironically, not as a joke, about, and I was like, oh my God, is she going to have to fight Luke? Because I think I have heard Hamill laugh as the Joker for years, and he's the only voice that you hear in the trailer. And I thought for a moment, what a brilliant coup. If after his like vocal sort of dissatisfaction or seeming dissatisfaction with like the way the character was treated in the last movie, if that was all a ruse, if that was all a play to set up like this long con. And I had that for a moment. And then obviously I was watching the stream and I saw Ian McDiermott come out and I was like, oh, I'm just an idiot. That just sounded like
that's really funny, though. And it kind of made me for a second think, like, before you said that he was misdirecting everyone, is that it was more of Luke convinced Disney and Star Wars to do everything he wanted to do. So episode nine was going to be his movie and he became the villain.
Yeah,
all of his like really stuff funny. About Luke being a Jedi goes out the window as long as he's the star.
Okay. Let's get back to the beginning. Let's say that shot, Ryan, you had a lot to say about it. I'm anxious to hear what you had.
Well, the shot specifically of the TIE fighter coming after she pulls the lightsaber out, thematically, very interesting because essentially it's Rey and Kylo on each side of the frame and in between them is Han and Luke because it's Luke's lightsaber and it's the gun that Han gave her in Force Awakens. So it's the two of them on either end of the two people who had the most impact on both of their lives. And I think that that's very interesting.
Very interesting.
And not a mistake or an accident.
Interesting. So you're assuming that's Kylo in the TIE?
It's his TIE interceptor.
So my take on that.
It is a little bit different, I think. There is some different coloring on it, but
it's not black. It's like silver, but I think we're to believe it's him at least.
My take on that is that is some kind of training that she's doing and like jumping over like high speed moving ships. Like she's,
I think you're not alone. There's people who are saying they're training together.
Right.
That it's Kylo and Rey training together.
Oh, I didn't think of that. That's great too. Yeah. All right.
I got the sense of a training thing because it's paired with the voiceover, at the beginning of like 1,000 years of knowledge. It's in you now.
Yeah.
It's just in you.
But it does say preparing. But this fight is yours, which right before that happens. So
this seems minor, guys. Did our lightsabers like pointy now?
There's always been an inconsistency there.
Yeah. I think the point looks particularly honed on this lightsaber, and I was particularly paying attention to the lightsaber because last time we saw it, it was damaged, it was broken. I wasn't sure if we were gonna. Chris, you speculated. I thought wisely, like, will we see a new color? For this lightsaber,
I think that is not the color the lightsaber will be in the movie.
Ooh, very interesting.
I think there's going to be a Kyber crystal journey in this movie.
Well, but you talk about it, the way the blade is shown, and I believe it's mentioned for Kylo's, is that because he is so erratic as a person and his construction of his lightsaber was a little bit not precise, that's why his blade kind of almost fades at the end or isn't really perfect.
Yeah, it's staticky.
And so with her having to rebuild a lightsaber, there's maybe something to be said there. That's why it doesn't look like a traditional lightsaber, because she had to fashion it herself.
Right. Yeah. And
even though it's been done before.
She literally has no one to help her.
Except for books.
She needs a teacher. I think that's what an amazing gift that Rian Johnson gave to J.J. Abrams by saying, all right, now there's one Jedi. What does she do?
I can't help but bring it up right now, but J.J. Abrams did say during the panel the best gift that Rian Johnson gave to him was Kelly Marie Tran, and yet Kelly Marie Tran is nowhere to be found in this trailer.
Yeah, that was a shame that she's not in the trailer. Yeah. Because I obviously think that she's delightful and a wonderful actor, and I love that character, so it would have been nice to see her featured prominently just featured at all.
They talk about it being this all everybody together on a mission together, and the first shot that they show during the panel, she's not in that. In the trailer, when they're actually making the approach to the Death Star destruction at the end, she's not there either. Mm-hmm. She seems like she's maybe being sidelined, or maybe that was her laugh at the end of the trailer. I don't know.
This was one of the things that did. So there's a lot of the eyes on this trailer are looking either as big supporters and fans of The Last Jedi as we are, to see like, oh, is this continuing in that direction? Or the, you know, opposing view, people who really did not like that film, looking to see, oh, is this going to course correct? Is this going to fix Star Wars? And it didn't really put my mind at ease either way, and particularly the panel. I mentioned this to you guys. I have a little bit of concern. So during the panel, they asked, when they spoke to John Boyega and when they spoke to Kelly Marie Tran, Colbert led a lot with, you know, their relationship and are they in love? Will they kiss in this movie? And both of them made a point of talking about how, you know, Finn's out there in the galaxy, and he, like, they kind of made it sound like he might be a bit of a resistance playboy, like he might be, you know, have a wandering eye, so to speak, and they were playing that up as like a positive or fun factor of this film, which gives me concern that it's like, and they also talked about a love triangle, Boyega talked about a love triangle or a love pentagram, you know, of characters, right, which felt to me like it's already distancing itself from the potential romantic angle that was presented in The Last Jedi. It gave me pause.
I mean, that's a very interesting point, because one of the things that you continue to go back to for Marvel movies, there's no romance.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of Peggy Carter and Captain America early on, and a little bit, Bruce and Natasha. What, in the last movies, like there's been no romance?
Yeah.
I guess you could say Ant-Man and the Wasp, but that was literally just the end of the first movie.
Yeah.
They haven't continued that in any way. Mm-hmm. So if Disney is starting to put together a playbook for all of their franchises,
right,
maybe they're saying we need to put to the back burner any real relationship.
I think that there's something to... I actually didn't quite like that Stephen Colbert asked those questions, because it's reinforcing this implication that if a man and a woman are in a scene together or in a movie together, then of course there's got to be like some kind of romantic love involved.
He did mention Poe, though. Colbert mentioned Poe and Finn. Yeah,
I was glad that they brought that in, because, you know, like that should be seen if they're going to be acting like a romantic relationship is a thing that is inevitably going to happen. That should be seen as a legitimate possibility. You know, I want to live in a world where that is seen as a legitimate possibility.
I think that was good. I do think it's a little bit different. Just to go back, it is a little different with Kelly Marie Tran's character, because she did talk about like love and hope being how they'll beat them, and she kissed him.
Yeah, they can't move on from
so
that.
It is different than the idea of like if the question had just been about, you know, Rey and Finn or Poe and Finn type thing. Well, that's like a one-to-one, and that gets at what you're talking about.
Sure.
But the Kelly Marie Tran thing is different. So it just gave me a little pause. We don't have enough to go on to say either way, and it's not going to make or break the movie for me, frankly. But I hope it's not indicative of a general abandonment of the Rian Johnson direction.
Sure. I mean, we could probably go through the other trailers and see if there's anything like characters not there as well. Like,
Well, and there's also a lot to be said that JJ does like to mislead people. And yes, I would say this trailer in a lot of ways is misleading.
The Emperor might have nothing to do with this.
He might be a momentary flashback, and yet they did this and to try to cause conversation.
Yeah. The other thing is that she might be in scenes that give away plot and things like that, which makes it difficult to cut them in.
Well, when she saw
a picture of her kind of in a rebel base in front of one of those like transparent.
Yeah, like that plans. Could be it. Like, what if on the other side of that, there's like...
she just becomes a character.
Darth Maul is standing right beside her.
At all times.
Yeah, we can't show that.
I am a little worried that and we'll get to the name later, but I will say that I am a little worried that the name is a little bit of a response to people who hated The Last Jedi.
I was actually going to... Do we want to get into all this now? Because there's a couple of things we can just talk about, so, whether it's retconning or whatever, the reaction
Let's move through the trailer and we can get back.
Yeah, sure. Fair. Going back to the beginning then, what... We've talked about this a little bit offline, but there is a theme among the teaser trailers, which is heavy breathing for each of the three sequel films. And not only that, there is mirroring of The Rise of Skywalker trailer with The Force Awakens, because it is one person who's breathing and then flash cut from black to sandy setting, where then you see the main character, which is the same thing we saw with Finn when he popped up. Now, this time you don't see only sand and then the character, she's just there.
Yeah.
But it felt very reminiscent to me of...
I think
that
goes back to that classic Lucas theory of start in the middle. You start with the action. Like, you're just joining the ride here as soon as it starts. Like, they're already out of breath. What just happened that they're out of breath?
Also, this idea of, like, Nicole had talked about this, and I think that there were pieces written about, like, the idea of, like, visual rhyming. And they're doing that even within trailers, too.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it opened with Finn breathing heavily in a desert. Now it's Rey breathing heavily in a desert, you know. Bookend.
So then from there, we see the shot that Ryan delved into with the lightsaber and then the blaster from Han. The TIE fighter's on its way. We then cut to the shot of the empty mountainous and sandy region as we're waiting, and we hear the TIE fighter coming, and then it cuts into frame, and kind of just a interesting way to see that for the first time, because it's a very quick moment where it's dusting up sand and flying low.
Yeah, it's establishing speed and
that's,
scale.
Yeah, that movement of the camera, like, from the first watch, I was like drawn in at like how the camera itself starts out slow and then increases
speed.
You
have planes of perspective, so things up closer in the desert are moving faster, things in the farther. Like, it's also a crazy shot.
Incredibly restrained, because for a while you're just looking at
nothing.
Yeah.
I think also
a shadow. You see the shadow of the TIE fighter coming interceptor coming.
We're
out.
Seeing a return to, I think with Last Jedi it was much more intimate. I think we're seeing a return back to these larger landscapes, these kind of more open spaces that we had before. And I think, I mean, how many years of technology? I feel like it's gonna up the game again.
Oh, certainly several of the shots we already saw in this. I think the shot of Rey flipping over with the kick flip over the TIE fighter is incredible. I mean, it looks...
Can someone edit a kick flip? Edit a skateboard into that shot, please?
That'd be great.
Guys, Chris is afraid of skateboarders.
After last week,
It's a cool move, and I think, like, there's only... Again, we've talked about it before on the pod, but there's only these handful of times that we've seen slow motion used in Star Wars. It tends to be either a really high emotional impact or for something really, really, really visually cool, and this feels like... Just an interesting... I know I've told the guys, like, I've been on a Keanu Reeves kick. I've been watching all his action movies, and I watched The Matrix this week, which obviously pioneered a whole new combination of, like, wire foo mixed with slow-mo, you know, and ways of shooting that. And, I mean, this was like... This feels like, wow.
Yeah.
20 years later, we're getting this shot that could only have been imagined in a post-Matrix world, in a way.
Unfortunately, this was taken from the Lucas... original script of It's a sport they have called tie jumping, and she's a champion tie jumper, and that's really the basis of this movie.
And the really, I mean, the thing is, the really good people do double dutch tie jumping.
Yeah, exactly. So,
isn't it kind of fascinating that 20 years on, Star Wars is being inspired by a film that rivaled a Star Wars film in 1999?
Interesting, yeah.
And that Phantom Menace is maybe not inspiring, whereas The Matrix is.
Yeah.
Well, time will tell on that one.
Yeah. Could they have existed without each other? Who knows?
So we see that kickflip. She's making her way over. We don't know if it's training or not, but we didn't mention the voiceover of Luke Skywalker in the beginning, where we kind of talked a little bit about it, but it was, as much as Mark Hamill has been in the news for the wrong reasons, a lot of comments he's made that just don't really fit in with the current dialogue.
Yeah, we should be clear that it's just Star Wars reasons.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah. These are not like a serious crime that he's committed, but he's said things that have not really gone in line with maybe what Lucasfilm and Disney would want to be said about their films. But I thought it was a nice moment. It made me feel like, good, I'm glad that Luke is still going to have a presence in episode 9.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think what he was speaking there too, also, it's like, it gives you that warm feeling of knowing like him and Yoda and maybe Anakin are kind of like hanging around during the movie. Like, they're still there. Like, I think it's good to have that connection point and just to say that, what is it? It's like thousands of generations are now like are on
thousands
you.
Thousands generations of knowledge.
A thousand generations of knowledge
and that's,
are now in you.
That's like, what does that mean? I mean, that could just be a throwaway line for the trailer, but it could also mean like, it's such a weighted statement, and it really just raises the stakes on everything immediately. It's like, if she dies, then this ability, the Force, as a concept, could just go away from this galaxy forever.
Well, it's this thing of, you know, I will not be the last Jedi.
Yeah.
You know, is what the last movie kind of established, and it set Rey up, and it obviously hinted at a wider, you know, Force sensitivity around the galaxy, but this one definitely seems to be pinning, you know, this is recentering very clearly on our hero for this trilogy. It's kind of doubling down again on the idea of like the one, the special, the only.
JJ.
Let's keep going through.
Yeah, we'll come back to it. So we get past that moment. Really, it's the majority of the trailer. It's the first.
It does say
minute
this
and 15
Christmas
seconds.
they're very upfront about this. This is a Christmas movie, and we're going to that market.
Yeah.
Finally, a holiday special return that we've been waiting for from Star Wars. But we see a planet, mountainous region where there's some sort of city and an A-wing making its way.
That's what
it
that
looks
like.
Like an A-wing.
Given the spacing of the engines, I'm just kidding.
No, but it does look.
Yeah, it does look just.
And I think we get our first and only look at Kylo Ren in the trailer for Episode 9.
And notice,
I love the visual.
He's a little scarless. So is this a flashback?
Well, I have a theory that it is a flashback.
Yeah,
because I don't know if y'all clocked the helmet that dude is wearing that he throws down. But that's a Zuvio style helmet, and I'm wondering if we're finally getting our long lost constable, and we're seeing. I think that's what we've been seeing.
Wait, has Constable Zuvio been a Knight of Ren this entire time?
I don't think. Oh, so your prediction is that he's going against the Knight of Ren.
He might have had somebody go against him, so he's fighting.
Or
him,
that he's turned something. But I was looking at the shape of the helmet.
Interesting.
So the initial reaction I had was, I was like, oh, is this the Knights of Ren? And then I immediately backed off and I was like, no, why would he be killing them?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that may be a question the movie's asking us to ask, right? But I then looked and I think that the helmet this cat is wearing that he throws is very Zuvio-esque.
That one?
There. Do you see it at the end?
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway. Well, and then we, speaking of helmets.
Yeah, we get right into... what's like one of those kind of knockoffs that you can buy of a movie prop of Vader's helmet.
I think we can't not talk about this here, though, and how this is such a clear bit of imagery to say, oh, you know that moment that was really powerful where Snoke called him out for just being a silly child in a mask?
Mm-hmm.
Forget it. We're just going to bring the mask back.
Well, no, I mean, I think it plays to his immature nature. Like, maybe he is a silly child in a mask.
That's fair.
I mean, who's fixing it?
Yeah.
Who's fixing it?
I mean, interesting.
Looks like Chewbacca hands.
There's something different about the hair there. That's really interesting.
That's my point. Yeah. I don't think that. I don't think I wonder who that is and what it's for.
Kerry Russell.
Another. Yeah. Could be CG.
She's very hairy hands.
That's another motif in all the trailers, though. It's just like a scene of mystery hands doing something.
That's true.
Yeah, we had that with like Maz hand, and then we had it with another.
That didn't make it in the movie.
Yeah. So that's a very interesting thing. So don't look for that shot in the movie.
Maybe my favorite single shot in this.
This looks like trailer. Nathan Drake from Uncharted.
We're right up to we're right up to the Uncharted moment where we've got Finn in the foreground and Poe standing up on a ledge behind him. They definitely seem that we're finally getting sort of the buddy bromance or romance that we've been waiting for for these two.
That's also a staff that Rey had in Force Awakens.
Yes, I clocked that.
I feel like we've got another series of buddies coming to Disney Plus, the Finn and Poe series.
That's
in
right.
2021.
That's right. And then there we go. What's the new guy's name?
Dio.
Very cute. Had a strangely cold reception.
Maybe I was alone in that. I thought it seemed cold, but
it was quiet for sure. Yeah. I couldn't tell if people were taking it in or if
I'll tell you what, I was watching this partially with the sound off back and forth, and then I saw this thing roving around the stage. I literally thought they were doing like a bit where like a megaphone was running around the stage.
That's funny.
I was like,
I think.
I've never seen that color scheme in Star Wars.
No, that's interesting. No.
If we're talking about the reception on the panel, you know, and just even seeing in the movie, I mean, I think the idea of giving BB-8 a sidekick, like BB-8 who is a sidekick, giving BB-8 a sidekick is like a cute and fun idea. I'm sure they'll have fun stuff and funny stuff to do with Dio. But I'm also like, if you've like if I'm JJ and I'm the guy who created BB-8, like why am I trying to create another one?
Yeah.
Like, well, BB-8 is
if
BB-8, great.
If BB-8 was Buster Keaton by himself, now we've got Laurel and Hardy. Like,
there you go.
There you go.
Well, I wasn't sold on him, and then I saw this shot, just even of the two of them mimicking each other with their head turned, and I was like, okay, all right, I get it.
Yeah, it's cute.
You got me.
Yeah.
But I had a reaction of what I've had even from before. I don't want to continue to see R2-D2 put to the sidelines. I want him. With a droid, you can always have them be prominently featured through all the films.
Sure.
You don't need to just turn into a new droid, especially you add BB-8. He's wonderful.
And we
we're fine. We didn't need another one.
And we know that R2-D2 has rockets, and he never uses them. He'd be an asset to have on his team.
He would.
Nicole pointed out that this is a series of shots of like pairs, which I thought was cool.
Also, for those listeners who are new to the pod, we have Nicole connected with Ryan. We've got Rachel connected with Sam. We've got Valerie connected with me. Kim connected with Chris. So for those of you who are not up to date on who everyone is.
My wife, Nicole, who's much smarter than I am, pointed out that these are all pairs. Billy Dee Williams is wearing the same clothes. That's weird.
Can we pause this for a minute? Because this to me stood out as maybe the most Disney moment of this trailer, which was that it was like, oh yeah, put him in the outfit of like the most recent, like last time we saw him, so that people know who it is. So that people realize, this is the Lando from the Solo movie.
Sure.
And it's like, yeah, but that was the Lando who was the younger Lando of Empire. Like, this feels weird.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, like, well, what this means also, just looking at him, and this is in no way speaking to either of these men, like, in their, like, builds or body types, but, like, it's been a number of years. Like, this means he went out, found a vintage shop, bought the same thing in, like, a double XL, because he was like, well, remember that fly getup I used to wear when I first met my boy? Like, I'm going to wear that again.
I think it might be a callback to Solo a little bit. I'm sure there might be
a
scene where, like, he storms into the Falcon, he's running around, like, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And then he opens up a drawer and it's this cape. He's like, yeah. I think though, what is also interesting is in Return of the Jedi, he's wearing Han Solo's clothes. So maybe Lando just doesn't have that much clothes.
He just grabs whatever's in the Falcon.
He doesn't want decision fatigue.
Yeah, he's wearing Han Solo's vest. It, like, a vest is an optional thing to put on too. It's like he looked at it. He's like, I'll put the vest on.
What I do like about this moment is in terms of bringing the generations together, he and Chewbacca have known each other for a very long time.
Generationally, they're the same age, basically. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and also what I like about the shot, and this may be just stating the most obvious thing, but actor Billy Dee Williams appears to be genuinely having a blast
shooting
in like the single frame that we get. You know, it's barely
pure joy is emanating.
Which also is how he played Lando.
Yeah. He seems to not only obviously have like not lost a step on what he was doing with the character back then, but also he seems to genuinely be like amped to be there. He's having fun. And it is something that this trailer, which was largely, I felt like, pretty serious. It's fairly heavy, like setting up the end of the trilogy and the end of the trilogy of trilogies.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a moment of pure lightness in it.
I just can't wait until they like refer back to the call that the Resistance put out. And then like Lando shows up and they're like, him? And he's like, but everybody's gonna be like, wait a second, him? And then he's gonna get the Falcon back. Is that
I honestly think that he shows up, he's like, I heard Han was dead, this is mine again, right? That's why he's there.
That'd be great. Yeah. That'd be so consistent.
That would be very funny. And it is maybe the one way that they could satisfactorily wrap up the Falcon story without blowing it up, Chris.
I swear to God, if you blow up the Falcon,
I think that my guess like is that Kylo Ren is going to sacrifice himself in the Falcon.
I mean,
brings it down.
That's Orlando flies it off into the sunset. Sunset.
Oh yeah.
Nailed
it. Oh, that's good.
One little bit of note, there was the spherical antenna back on the Falcon.
Interesting.
In the freeze frame, right before you see, versus the rectangle, which has been prominent since. So it's a very quick moment when you see it jumping into hyperspace.
Did they knock it off on the cave again?
They knocked it off. Ooh, did they knock it off in the cave? Good point.
I just don't remember.
Yeah, that's a good. Okay.
I believe they did.
So there we go. Right. So they've now. Okay.
So now they're back to this.
What a
one.
Funny,
guys.
Goofy motif.
I've only seen that scene once. I still haven't finished.
Oh,
I still haven't finished my rewatch.
Oh, my gosh.
The fabled lost episode. Yeah.
But as we continue onward and the jump to hyperspace,
the saga comes to an end.
No,
actually, I do want to say, that is the moment where I think this trailer actually hit me.
Yep.
I got excited and sad. Bittersweet. It is bittersweet.
As you just spoke that out loud, I got goosebumps and I'm crying inside my eyes.
I think all this action stuff looks really cool.
Yeah.
That they're doing, blowing up in the sand with the speeders. I really like this shot of Poe and Finn and like the speeder. It looked very swashbuckling.
Yep.
Does this look like the pod racer track?
This looks a little pod. One. It does look a little pod racer.
I was feeling Return of the Jedi, Jabba, and the skiffs. You know.
Well, I mean, you got some skiff fins on there, like those ships that had it. But then, Sam, you're right though with all those pylons.
Whatever. Like I don't
the
know.
Moisture,
what those
there's moisture evaporators.
Oh, are those moisture evaporators?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Sure,
oh,
sure, 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 sure.
Never seen them so close together before.
Right.
Must be a very dry planet.
Yeah.
And then we've got flying stormtroopers.
Oh my
god! Look at
that
shot.
We just freeze framed it on a moment where you got 3PO and Finn holding on to what
that
appears
is,
to be a mast.
Yeah.
On the
it looks like Pirates of the Caribbean.
And you got Oscar Isaac as Poe.
Deafening silence.
Oh man,
he's the best pilot in the galaxy. Has a man ever looked
as cool as Oscar Isaac consistently looks?
Exactly. Yeah.
I want to jump back though. Flying stormtroopers, jetpacks, very much bringing something from the Clone Wars into the actual episode. Chris, you're looking like you didn't see these guys.
I didn't see these guys. Where are they at?
I think I assumed they were just...
The ones who come right at the camera?
Wow,
I think I
there
assumed
we go.
They were on speeder bikes
there
or
you
something.
Go.
I thought they were riding broomsticks.
Yeah.
They do have
they're
a little bit
them.
Of that Quidditch. Wizard feel
there's
to them, right?
There's a Quidditch ball in front of them.
Yeah.
It's called a snitch.
A snitch.
Quidditch ball?
Read a book.
Maybe the quaffle.
Could be a quaffle.
How many laser blasts are they going to be for? This is interesting. Oh. They smash cut to an A-wing crashing here.
Yeah, what looks like it is this a space battle? Is this our do we get the big promised space battle of the third movie.
Sam, we're getting everything.
I think, I mean, I would hope they just go for broke. This movie's going to be 7.5 hours long. Oh, this is just part one.
Part one.
There it is. Chewie's medal.
Is that a hand replacement for Leia?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's probably his medal. Like I gave this.
I mean, but in more reality, likely it is Luke's medal, and they are.
Is it Luke's or Han's?
They take it from Octo. Oh, it could be Han's.
She would potentially have either of them.
She would have Han's. Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
She could be mourning them both with the one medal representing both of them and not Chewie.
It's not a hand replacement. It's a medal replacement. There's actually two medals in her hand in this shot.
Yeah.
Then we see the embrace between Rey.
It's clearly green screened, which is understandable.
But you know what? I didn't think it looked that bad.
Yeah.
No, it looks good.
It looked pretty good.
I'm obsessed with the shot of the crash Death Star. I think the waves are... It's so ominous and beautiful.
It looks like a place where people should not be.
Exactly. Yet. It has this real sense of we've arrived somewhere that will only get harder to get to.
Yeah,
never-ending story style. Right.
And we have to go there.
Can we back up to the hill just when they're walking down? I want to.
For sure.
It's a great shot. There's some great levels and depth to the framing of them. And if we look at who it is, we got Chewie, BB, DO, 3PO, no R2 in this shot, and then the trio of our new characters. And I do have to say, I mean, John Boyega called it out in the press conference. But those blue pants are popping. They look great.
I do like those. I think also R2, just he's walking through grass might be a struggle for R2.
I'm just saying, it's interesting.
You just mentioned his rockets.
Mike brought it up earlier, and I did want to point out that I noticed in this shot in particular that they had 3 of 4 droids and not the most popular.
I mean, we don't know who's behind Rey.
Look, they've sidelined Kelly and R2-D2. The two of them are off doing their own mission.
Yeah. It's a possibility. It's a possibility.
So when we talk about the Death Star, though, as you may recall from The Force Awakens, early scripts before there were things that changed was that there was a mission to find the plans or the map to Luke Skywalker in the old system of the Death Star. So there was a moment where they were going to be diving underwater to the wreckage of the Death Star to find the map to Luke Skywalker.
Oh, so maybe they're...
So could they be going back to that and thought, oh, that was a good idea. Maybe there's just something else they can
maybe
go
there's
get.
Something
a different MacGuffin for them.
Oh, but we do know that Kyber is used to make the lasers of the Death Star.
So they need a giant Kyber crystal.
That's huge.
There we go.
And Ryan putting it together.
Boom.
Love it.
There it is.
I love that theory.
Whew. And that's what Rogue One helped establish.
Hey, all right.
Just for our listeners, Chris is scrolling through the timeline nondiscreetly at this point.
I apologize to my fellow droids because I didn't realize you were looking at the screen.
I like the
driving you mad.
I like the general there's some general color blocking of this trailer. We start out sort of yellow tan, then we go into that blue sort of mountainscape skyline. We get the reds. For Kylo, we have some greenery, and then we end on this sort of, like you said, ominous gray dark.
Yeah.
You can see that there's clearly going to be just some strongly lit, bold colors. This is where I thought in that shot that
right
we're back at the beginning to just all of our listeners who are not having anything visual.
It's a pivot
on there.
Rotate.
But there's this shot where, right in the beginning, when they zoom in on Rey, I thought they'd given her a buzz cut, and I thought it was a Padawan type thing, or rather, she'd given herself a buzz cut. And I was like, oh wow, is that why her hair's short now at the panel? Did she have a? And then I was.
Almost looks like they added the same type of grain match that A New Hope had in those shots. It looks. It has that tangible dusty quality to it, and maybe that's just filming in that location.
All right, so we've gone through. We need to talk about the laugh, and then I have a theory.
Okay,
all
right. So Palpatine's laugh is the end of the trailer,
right?
Ian McDiarmid came out. Everyone had their reaction. We talked about it a little bit earlier that this is just maybe JJ trying to manipulate a little bit, mislead people, mystery box at what he's all about. But Ryan, what do you think when you saw Palpatine?
Well, okay, so there's a few things. This isn't my theory yet. I'm interested in the Palpatine thing because there are a few things. Chris had once mentioned a theory about Snoke being someone who body jumped.
Right.
That was something. And yep. That's
I thought you were going to talk about a different theory that Chris mentions on every single episode.
Are you familiar the Grey Jedi? With the tale of Darth Plagueis?
Okay, so then there's also the idea that maybe Palpatine survived the Death Star explosion and crash, and he's just been living on bugs in there or something. But
he's got a volleyball named Wilson.
My wife, Nicole, who I am crediting here, because she insisted that I do. She said Rise of Skywalker, perhaps they're talking about Anakin.
Oh.
Because it's a bookend. So that's an interesting thing in terms of bookending, obviously, the prequels to this. We're dealing with Force ghosts. Here's my hot take. I think Hayden Christensen's in this movie.
Ooh.
As a Force ghost. And, yeah. And I think that that's okay.
Yeah.
Here's why. Hayden Christensen is not an inherently bad actor, and if they use him well as a Force ghost Anakin Skywalker, dealing with all of this new stuff and Palpatine's involved and things like that, that could be completely badass. It could rewrite history a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that it could be really awesome.
Yeah.
So you don't think it's a momentary Force ghost? Do you think there's like actual, it's not just he's looking on from a distance with a grim grin where he's like, hey, you did it, way to go.
I think if you're saying something Rise of Skywalker, I think they're either retconning Rey's parentage, which I really hope they do not, though I would not put it past JJ, we'll see. They're either talking about Kylo, which is interesting.
That's my bet.
Yeah.
But we do know that Mark Hamill is in this movie, that's confirmed, which means he must be a Force ghost.
But are you familiar with the tale of Dark Plagueis?
And
finally, after all this time, it will come.
Unless, do you think it's the Rise of Skywalker, like they're resurrecting people?
So I thought of that, like they're bringing someone back from the dead. But
I think that they open this trailer by saying that the thousands of generations of knowledge is now passed on to Rey. She's the only living one with this knowledge. I think that she will eschew the moniker of Jedi because the Order has failed. The Order led to disastrous consequences time and time again, and I think that whatever she becomes and potentially what she and Kylo become will be known as Skywalkers, and that will be the new like order of like protectors of the galaxy or force sensitive people will be known as a Skywalker.
Maybe it'll be like a thing in the opening crawl where it's like Rey, having found other Force users, now called Skywalkers. You know, like something like that.
Or she uses the moniker to help inspire people the way that Luke inspired people.
You're using it the way I'm saying. I like that feels to me like that's too much of a jump. Like that would be to me like the crawl of Episode 10. If that, you know what I mean. But that idea that she takes on that she were to say like, no, I am a Skywalker, and what that means to people who know who the Skywalkers were, but also to say that it's like, this is a different thing, this is about conflicted people with great
Luke
abilities.
Was right. It's time for the Jedi to end. But what do we call ourselves?
Skywalker.
I mean, anything is possible. I would just be very surprised if that were to happen because of the moment of, you know, realization that you don't have to be part of something else. You don't have to be part of a larger entity or family or to find meaning. Like the identity that she gains by not needing her parents to define who she is in Last Jedi would be sort of lost if it's like, well, I do kind of need to have some sort of identity connected to something else, so I'm going to call myself a Skywalker. That may not be the way it comes off in the film. I think Rise of Skywalker is all about Kylo. I think it's the rise from darkness. Mm. That's where I think it's... And he is a Skywalker. He's the last one left. I think it's probably the most straightforward thing is what I feel like will likely happen.
I just got to say, it's cool every time we say it just because it's like this movie has a name.
I know. Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Oh, it's very cool.
I still hold by. I think Hayden Christensen is in this movie.
I do think he is.
I agree. I think also Ewan McGregor is going to be in this. I think you're going to see a Force ghost army.
I brought this up earlier. Yeah.
Lord of the Rings.
I know Chris has been saying this, that there's a Force ghost army and everyone's fighting.
And I honestly think that we might see that.
This is the closest I've been to being convinced of that happening.
I would believe maybe not in the army, like in like on the scale of like Lord of the Rings style, but I do actually think there's a world in which we see, you know, Hamill and Palpatine and, you know, Anakin and Ewan and, like, all, you know, all these characters, like, in some sort of conflict mm-hmm. on like an ethereal plane right. above
yeah.
whatever conflict is happening.
And
so what, that's where Palpatine comes in. Yeah.
And what if that world, yes. like, what if those people are trapped in that world and they don't realize it and they need, like, they're trying to figure out. So, like, if Rey could figure this out, then that is the literal, like, Skywalkers can, like, be at peace and they can go to whatever, wherever.
Oh, and that's the rise.
So they're
that's
in purgatory. The
yeah.
Well, it's interesting because there was that moment in.
Oh, how dark would that be?
I know. I was just thinking how morbid that
Skywalker's
would
be. Skywalker's like, every moment like, I'm alive is
yeah,
agony.
When Obi-Wan's like, I'll be stronger than you could ever. He's like, wait a second, I'm stuck in here. This is not good.
Well, there was that moment in Rebels where there was a place between times or outside
right.
of time
right.
where the Emperor then communicated with Ezra.
Right.
And so.
Yeah,
potentially could be something to consider as well. There's how much are they going to bring in from the other now canon storylines mm-hmm. that they put into that giant mural
yeah.
at Celebration?
Yeah.
I mean, they are holding Rebels, Clone Wars on the same plane yeah. as the rest of the stories.
Sure, mm-hmm.
It's very intriguing.
Do we like the title? Do we like the title? Just curious, like putting it out to the room.
I am afraid that it is. Pandering to people who didn't like The Last Jedi,
yes.
which I think is a little bit of a cop-out. I think that my opinion of the title is very, very dependent on what it ends up meaning in the movie.
I think if people didn't like it, if people didn't like a movie that had no name of Skywalker in it that starred Luke, imagine a movie that's named Skywalker and doesn't star Luke. It's like a good troll.
That's funny. I don't know. I guess... I think it's interesting, and I think like I'm tempted to think that it's been in place longer than that, Ryan, longer than the supposed so-called backlash. Just
mm-hmm.
just because they named this the Skywalker Saga, like they started referring to it as the Skywalker Saga, you know, years ago, like
right.
around the time of The Force Awakens. I think, you know, when they were announcing the slate coming up,
sure.
and so that leads me to think like. This title had to be brewing or had to be a possibility as far back as that, you know?
I'm conflicted because of that, because I feel like, I don't know how I feel, cause I'm in the same position as you, Ryan. Like once we see the movie, I'm going to have a certain perspective based on the title, but I'm conflicted because that makes a lot of sense to me, Sam,
mm-hmm.
that you need to think of this as the end of the Skywalker saga. So how could you not call it something Skywalker related?
Yeah.
But then The Last Jedi to me, not didn't make it meaningless, but took away some of what Skywalker should mean. Is that Skywalker isn't as important as everybody else having the Force and
sure.
Broom Boy having the Force. And so to call it The Rise of Skywalker, if it plays into the people who are unhappy with The Last Jedi, I don't like that.
Right.
And I don't like the idea. I thought we kind of were beyond the Skywalker family now, and I know it's the Skywalker saga. It's almost like what we've talked about before. The Last Jedi probably should have ended it rather than Episode 9. As in, if the ending of The Last Jedi was the ending of Episode 9, that would have set up the expansion of the overall film, galactic universe of Star Wars, better than having another episode that's part of the Skywalker saga. I mean, the movie didn't end everything in Episode 8, so you couldn't just call it there.
Right.
But I just
think
the ending for Luke. If you ended it that way with Luke, and you had everyone be inspired by him, and then you showed all these other stories that continue on with the Force would have been a better way to move the next step of the franchise. And now we have this other film that maybe holds that a little bit or takes that back a step.
Well, let's say it would have been a good way. Let's not say better. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
I see what you're saying,
yeah.
but you're without, there's no arguing like you're ahead of yourself because we haven't seen what
no,
they actually
are.
Yeah, we don't,
course,
we don't know what the movie is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting though, that if, Force, right, which is the big concept, and then you get to the Jedi, which is like a subset of Force users, and now you're getting down to real specific to one, to a Skywalker, who's the last one. So I think that's kind of neat what they've done there. Like,
yeah.
if you've gone through each thing,
yeah.
now we're honed back, now we're down to one person, so it's like the Force wasn't even there, all
yeah.
of a sudden, like, it's everywhere, back down.
Do we like the blue? I'm into the blue.
I like it.
I like
the
purple of the fake more, but
yeah.
it makes sense because
yeah.
Luke Skywalker is, or Luke's lightsaber was blue, and
well, and it also, I mean, it's, you know, all the new trilogy now has like a series of like primary color Star Wars logos. And
yeah, that's true.
It plays very well. It looks, I think it looks great.
Yeah, it does look cool.
Yeah, what a special day to get the title and the trailer in the same.
I feel like in the past they've all been separated, right?
Yeah.
We heard Last Jedi maybe 3 months before Celebration.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Force Awakens was the same way, yeah. And so to get them together. Yeah. There was talk among JJ throughout some of the interviews he did about how this was a quicker timeline and they didn't have as much time for post-production because he wasn't making the movie the entire time. It was going to be Colin Trevorrow, mm-hmm. and then that all changed. So they don't have as much time, yet it still feels like ages before the movie comes out. So I'm not quite sure how they don't have enough time.
Oh, my God. But I am so glad Colin Trevorrow isn't making this movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it feels like we would be going down a very dark path.
That's such a 2012 decision.
Yeah. Yeah,
safety not guaranteed. That's where we got.
Do we want
to good day to be?
Do we
want to
just go like overall impressions? And yep. I think we can include not just like not even just the trailer, just the title, but like just the panel, but the mm-hmm. experience of sort of that hour where we heard them talk. We got a little bit of news. We got to see some of the cast. We got some photos. Then we got the trailer, ending with the title. How like. Overall impressions. Do we want to just go around the horn?
Yeah.
I love the trailer. I had reservations with the name, with Palpatine, even though I feel like Palpatine could be used in a way that wouldn't be... I was a little concerned that, oh no, Palpatine's alive and he's been alive this whole time, so he's back, and then it takes away a bit from the sacrifice and diminishes what happened at the end of Return of the Jedi, which I don't want. But overall, I was just thrilled to see new Star Wars footage. Mm-hmm. I was thrilled to see everybody on stage and thinking again about my love for the franchise. Colbert really got to me. Like I got more chills in the trailer, but his sentiment, I got chills beginning. During that. And I was like, oh, I'm ready. I'm really ready for this and feeling so excited. Plus, there's that moment of just like angst of, oh, I wish I was in that room. I wish I was there. even though the panel in the end wasn't maybe as, you know, exciting as it would have been by the end. I probably would have been like, why did I wait in line forever? Or
I mean,
spend all this
there's
time
no
here, but
way that panel would have been satisfying.
No, it's, but being there and saying that you were part of the group that watched the trailer for the first time and hearing the name and then also witnessing all of them.
But
together,
did you listen to C-3PO?
Yeah.
Anthony Daniels said you were there.
Oh, he was. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You were.
It
there.
Was, a, it was a very specific welcome to all the droids out there.
Yeah. You were there.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great day to be a Star Wars fan. It's a really specific experience whenever they do these things because it's all possibilities. We were talking about this off mic a little bit, but it's all possibility and then it's crystallized and you're like witnessing the moment. And every single time they've managed to do this thing where I'm thinking about Star Wars all the time, what's going to be in this movie? What are we going to see? And then it always is and looks different than I ever could have imagined. And that, to me, is exciting. It's not disappointing. It's really exciting because I'm like, oh, it's real. It's happening. I'm going to be surprised. It's not anything like I could have imagined it would be. And that means that they're doing something right because they're making the movie and I am not.
It's a magic trick.
Yeah.
It's that was very beautifully put, Ryan. I think what overall, I mean, how can I not be excited for this? And like you said, like whatever expectation I had in my head, I had no idea what could happen now the way The Last Jedi ended. I have no idea what they're going to set up, and I still don't, and I love that. And it's causing me to behave erratically. I'm leaving work to watch this from my car. This is.
Did
not...
you say your colleagues listen to this podcast?
Hey,
Chris?
Shout out to my workers, coworkers.
Shout out to Chris's subordinates.
Yeah, I have no clue. But I think it is something. It is this kind of like poke in my world that happens. It doesn't happen all the time, but it is these things that just they push you in one direction or not. So I'm super excited. I'm still like, I'm all on board. There's nothing here that's dissatisfied me. I don't care what it's called. I don't care what they do.
Yeah.
I'm just happy it exists.
Yeah. What haven't you guys said? It's beautiful. We talked about, you know, it has a texture. We talked about the color, just like the silhouette of it. I'm of course talking about the jacket that Oscar Isaac was wearing at the at the panel. It was everything I could ever ask for. But aside from that, I think, yeah, my reaction, I said it at the beginning, I kind of went from a 4 to 100. And it wasn't for lack of a Star Wars love that I was at a 4, but it was just from that lack of crystallization. The fact that it could be anything also kind of meant that it was still nothing to me at that point. So today was super exciting. I think the trailer was really, really propulsive. I think what we see Rey do, and I think focusing it felt like it really focused on Rey. Obviously this trilogy does, and I'm excited about that. The one grain of salt that I have, or the one anxiety I have around it is I'm not yet convinced that they're not backtracking on some of the Rian Johnson stuff, but I feel like J.J. Abrams is like better than that. I feel like he wouldn't swing too far in either direction, and I think maybe what he's doing, rather than continuing, you know, with what Rian Johnson was setting up, is like doing what Rian Johnson did, and hopefully he's going in a third direction. You know, this is not what he envisioned back in his episode 7 days. It's not what Rian thought would come in his episode 8 days, and hopefully what we're getting is this third new, really satisfying end. And I do think that, like, you know, The Force Awakens is super highly rewatchable. It's very funny. It's very fun. The action in it is great. And I think, like, this trailer, if nothing else, like, solidified, like, yeah, he's still the same director that he was when he made that movie. And that's exciting. That's great.
I feel like when we talk on the pod, it always helps me crystallize my view on things. And then I realize that, you know, sometimes I watch stuff with that quick criticism and finding the negativity, and yet we have this conversation. I'm like, oh no, there's so much that I am so excited about for this. Yet it stands out certain things about JJ, and I have the same concern, and I'm worried about that in a big way. I'm also worried about, because it's been a narrative for JJ for a long time, about how he wraps things up, and I don't feel like he's been able to wrap things up.
I mean, what greater pressure to perform?
Absolutely. And what I thought just now while you were talking, Sam, was like, all of the inspiration he has had throughout his career from other great filmmakers, from Steven Spielberg, from George Lucas, from throughout his time as a director, he hasn't really needed to finish a lot of things. Like, the Star Trek films were going to continue. Lost was continuing when he was no longer working on it. Felicity was really the one thing that he finished, and I believe it had some sort of weird time travel
jump
at the end.
There was a time travel talisman at the end.
Yeah, and so...
It has a perfect ending. It has a perfect ending, and then it has three more episodes after it.
About time travel, yeah.
It's not his fault. The WB asked for a few more episodes when they weren't prepared.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Well, so my point kind of is, he's had all his incredible inspirations, which he's been able to turn into wonderful films that have a lot that make us all feel like we did when we were kids again. Now it's time for whatever great inspiration he had for concluding things. Like, he's going to have his own idea, but this is the moment for him to bring that all in and finish something in a satisfying manner.
Can't wait.
100% Rotten Tomatoes, yeah.
Great to be a Star Wars fan.
Can't bomb the reviews now. So follow us on all the social media platforms. Twitter, Droids Pod. Instagram, Droids Pod. Facebook, The Droids Podcast. Email us at droidspod@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of the trailer. We'd love to hear from you. Send us a voice memo. We'll put it in. We'll put it in the show. There's a guarantee. We always give these guarantees on the pod. So join us again. There's more happening throughout the weekend in Chicago. Star Wars Celebration continues. There's a Galaxy's Edge panel. Jedi, what, The Fallen? Unfallen?
Fallen Order.
Fallen Order.
Respawn's game.
The game that is coming out this year. We'll see some footage from that, a trailer that we can react to.
That's in big old quotes. This year is in big old quotes.
That is very much the case. And then The Mandalorian on Sunday. There will be a panel where we'll find some footage, learn more. Pedro Pascal will likely be in the building with Jon Favreau. And, of course, we will get a trailer that we'll talk about all on Wednesday. And the Phantom Menace panel on Monday. We're going to get back into a 20-year anniversary of The Phantom Menace, and we'll see who they bring out for that. Hayden Christensen might have two purposes for being in Celebration.
Are we watching that tonight, boys?
Let's throw it on.
Yeah, let's watch The Phantom Menace. Well, it's been 20 years.
Get excited. 8 months. The countdown is on. We'll have a lot more here on the Droids You're Looking For Star Wars podcast. I can't wait. What they grow
beyond. Chris.
No one ever hears that part.
Addie?
This has been the Droid You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
Addie?
Good luck cutting that, Ryan.
Hey, yo,
we're cutting it here tonight.
Yeah,
we're cutting it now.
Let's cut it quick.